Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we would try to honor you this morning and from our hearts try to respect you, knowing, Lord, that we're coming closer from the negative to the positive, and yet this age, Lord, has fallen so far from the positive down to the negative that realize there is certainly much to be desired in us, and we, Lord, can make even greater effort than ever, knowing what lies against us. And yet in the light of what is for us, that effort we make certainly shall not fail, because, as you said, greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. And even beyond that, the one that's in the midst of the church today, prevailing upon us and setting his own world government order. We're very grateful for that. Help us in our studies, and may this sermon, Lord, be as real to us in our measure of grace and faith and what we have from you, Lord, as it was to the prophet in his, and that's all we desire, that may be true for us this morning, and we wouldn't ask anything else. We just give you glory in Jesus' name, we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're a number, whatever it is, 17 or 18, whatever it is, I guess 18 by now, on the Easter seal, and in order to conserve time and yet give us some continuity, we merely state that this message actually is not Easter seal, but resurrection seal. He uses the words interchangeably, but actually, because it is the occasion of Easter, commemorating his resurrection from the dead, and the fact that Brother Branham also said that Jesus literally rose, when Easter fell the latest, which would be in April, he had what you might call a great desire to use this special occasion to communicate to the people something which was very much from God in the face of what is very much produced from idolatry, and has given way to creeds and dogmas and their traditions of men, which, of course, is vain. As the Bible says, your worship is vain, and you made void the very promises of God by your tradition. Well, that's true, because if you're looking for your own tradition to come to pass, and that is not going to come to pass, and overlooking the word of Almighty God, which then cannot come to pass because you have no faith in it, you can see why Christ said what he said. So, all right, Brother Branham is not preaching Easter seal, but resurrection seal. For Brother Branham is very carefully spelling out to us that the signs of the resurrection are not only amongst us, as has been seen through Mark 16 over the centuries, but by the presence of God himself, who is about to raise the dead, separate the bride from the church, perform the rapture, and then in the great tribulation purge the church, the Jews, and the earth in order to establish the kingdom of God on earth. Now that is exactly what you're looking at. This is why he calls it Easter seal, and why he calls it also quickening power. Now, factually, we are in the time of the resurrection, and the events or component parts are visible as to both God's presence and the development or the progression of the resurrection. Now, I hope you're listening to me, because you'll notice I use the word development and progression. And this is where so many people are failing to understand. Everything is in a progression. It's in a spiral spin. Too many people are looking for something, as Brother Branham said, looking back and looking forward, not knowing that something is going on now. So if we are not going forward with God now, let us understand we're either looking back or looking forward, and we're missing something. In other words, you'll notice everything that we've said, everything that's in the world, has a relationship to the Word as to its particular and peculiar expressions, like state of the art. What is the state of the art? It means the thing that is absolutely current, and they call it the top thing, which is going on now either in your banking system or your computers or your this or your that. All right, the world is aware where Christianity is not aware. In other words, they can deal commercially better than they can do spiritually. So they are not aware of what you might call in vernacular state of the art. They're not aware of it. See? So, we are in process. We are in the resurrection. The events that pertain to it. And this is the thing, again, where people misunderstand. The bump, here comes the dead. Whoop, they're up. No. No, absolutely not. There are things that must precede it. Just as Brother Branham spoke on the events of the rapture, you cannot just say, hey, up and away. You have to go through what is predetermined to go through in order to get to the spot where you are picked up. And if those events are not in, you are not going to get picked up. And if the events are not coming in for the resurrection, there will not be one. Now, this is the thing that really saved me when so many people were saying, well, it's going to be over in 1977. They forgot that Brother Branham said, looks like we're not going to make it because the events aren't in. And the events were not in. And when people said, well, Lee, it's going to be over, I said, there's no way. One fellow said, well, you know, he would be gone. Well, I said, go by. He didn't go anywhere. Had a nervous breakdown later on. Not that I don't glory in that. The thing is, hey, if you are going to put yourself on a spot against the word of God, which your prophet thoroughly declared, and think you can come up with one answer because you know one little thing or heard one little thing, you are wrong. Everything must be related and interrelated. Even the environmentalists know that. The holistic doctors know it. The holistic doctor says you must work on the whole man. At this hour, the whole man is being worked on. See? Brother Branham brought it to our attention. If that gene is not down there in the soul, hey, you don't have any record. You had to have representation back there to have it now. So, all right. Factually, we are in the time of the resurrection, and the events or component parts are visible as to both God's presence and the development or the progression of this resurrection. Now, you know that by what we've been taught. As a prophet who has been proven never to speak out of turn, that's never wrong, he gave a quick resume of his actual visit or vision. Made in the body, out of the body, you know, like the Apostle Paul, beyond the curtain of time, when he saw they that were there were anxious to return for their own resurrection. Said they were waiting. Now, and their waiting was predetermined upon a certain precept, which is absolutely 100% scripture. Brother Branham didn't point it out to us, but absolutely factual as to the great events which we are now a part of. In 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse 7, you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe in that day. This day. See? Now what? Because our testimony among you was believed. We've got to get back to the Apostle Paul 100%. William Brent, they said, well, am I going to be judged by what I preach? Absolutely. Well, he said, I preach what Paul preached. They said, we're resting on that. They're resting and we're resting. Why are you going to have a resurrection apart from the restored word? Now tell me. From a true revelation, how are you going to have it? You can't have it. You can talk all you want. You can be blue in the face. You can boast. You can speak in tongues. You can dance. You can shout. You can holler. You can take up the sword like the Mohammedan and kill. You will still miss it. I don't care who you are. You ain't God. So don't try to act like him. Be a believer. All right. Watch. These people beyond the curtain of time were being quickened to that end. See? Even at that time up there in the theophonic forms, the spirit body is what it is, they were actually quickened by the appearing of Brother Branham. So I'll bless God. I think when I get out of here, I'll do... What will you do when you get out of here? You haven't got a clue. You see what predisposed thinking does to you? It destroys you. Find out what is true. Now, they were quickened at least to the time and the hour because William Branham was the one they were depending upon to bring the exact word of the Apostle Paul. That's why Brother Branham said, just think how marvelous, how wonderful, that the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. Now listen, that's Bible. Now let's just take a look at the context. Your trouble rests with us. We'll talk about that later. When the Lord shall, Jesus shall be revealed from heaven, these mighty angels. And we believe that's a picture right there. In flames of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and be punished with everlasting destruction, the presence of the Lord, from the glory of power. That is Malachi 4, the first verse. Burnt up, leaving neither root nor branch. See? So therefore, this verse here has to take place the same time as Malachi 4, which says, I will send you Elijah the prophet. So then, who is going to restore the word? Elijah the prophet. And that's Acts, the third chapter. It's as sure as you're sitting here, which we'll talk about later on. See? And he's going to become to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. And notice, it is contingent upon Paul's doctrine, which is he called my gospel. And he said, God is going to judge the world by my gospel. Everybody said, well, you know that. I'll tell you what that is. Yes, I know that. My preacher told me. And that's that great white throne, and that's this and that. That's alive in the pit of hell. It starts right here. Starts right here. Absolutely starts right here. Because it's at this time you see these things take place. That he comes to be admired in his saints. He sets the whole thing in a process. So what you're looking at is a process, and it's going on now. That's why Brother Branham said, white throne now, because it doesn't stop. It started. The judge is here. And people try to tell you, preachers around here, to say they believe this message and say, well, his presence, well, you know, that's just a doctrine like serpent seed. What about the judge? Would you like to be called a doctrine? Your kids may say, hey, Pop, hi, doctrine. Mom and Dad, no, not Mother and Dad, hi, doctrine. People, I'm going to tell you something. People in this message are so insensible to reality, it's pitiful. And I'll hammer that till the day I die. At least I got the truth if I haven't got anything else. If I got the truth, I'll get the rest. You better believe it. He then told us he was in Arizona because of the forthcoming quickening power that most evidently has to do with immortality. For in paragraph 196, he speaks of the angelic visitation and the opening of the seals, which he calls the third pole, and must directly do with Revelation 22:10-14. Because that's after the book is open. Now, when the book is open, the righteous are righteous, the wicked are wicked, the unholy unholy, the holy holy, and so on, right? Then a judgment must have taken place. A separation must have taken place. You can't deny it. Now, who is going to do it, and under what consideration? God himself under consideration of the word of the Apostle Paul. Now, hey, look, you can do what you want. I'm a tough preacher and I hang in tough because I got to. Because the devil do everything he can to bluff you and me out of it. But I preach the truth this morning. This is thus saith the Lord, and the word of God, backed up by William Branham, thus saith the Lord. And he says right in that, where we read it and show you here, he said, listen, I've never told you one thing wrong in my life, and I'm telling you the truth now about the beyond the curtain of time. And they said, we're resting on the fact that you are bringing the exact word of the Apostle Paul. Now, you try to tell anybody but us, a bunch of stupid little jerks here, we are the salt of the earth, the bread of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stand with it.
Amen.
Because you don't get this anywhere else. I don't mean this church. Now I'm talking this message and all. Before Brother Branham died, they were so messed up in Tucson, they had Heinz's pickle factory out there. I think he said 17 different interpretations alone. And now they got about 157. See? So what Brother Branham is saying, as far as I can discern, is that what he calls quickening power, which means, now listen, a phrase, the to make alive power, quickening power is to make alive power, is God himself now present and described by Abraham and now William Branham as the God who raises the dead. And remember, Abraham wasn't dead. Seminally speaking, correctly speaking, he was as good as dead because the Bible says so. And Sarah's womb was the same. God who raises the dead. I say, this quickening God has come to actually reveal the seven seals and the seven thunders, which are under the seventh seal. And all this is a part of the resurrection. That's right. So I don't know if I believe that just because William Branham said, then you don't believe thus saith the Lord. Your entirely lost is a vindication. Then you tell me what it means. But you better have thus saith the Lord ahead of it. You better thus saith the Lord, I'm going to do something great. And you better make it very great too. Because I was with the prophet and I saw the great things happen. Dead raised, everything else. Cripples, you name it. Cancer cases, you name it. Deaf, dumb, blind, you name it. Right from the dead. You better have something awful good. If you didn't tell me nothing. There comes a time, brother, sister, when sheep get pig-headed. At least they're called that by their enemies. When the sheep get sheep-headed, they listen to the voice. And they follow the voice of the sign. Because there is no sign without a voice. And they're getting ready to be trapped by the Antichrist. All right. Without this, and we're going into reading it shortly, there would be no resurrection. But now, as Brother Branham said, we have all we need to put us into the rapture, which, of course, is subsequent to the resurrection. It follows it. Therefore, when he preached his last great message, which was December 4, 1965, in Yuma, Arizona, on the rapture, the events, it was all laid out for every single one of us, and there'll be no bride's going to miss it. So, all right, we're going to start reading back on 193. This fills you in that you have not been here previously, or you've forgotten, because we've been away 2 weeks. Have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord but what happened? Now, you're talking about behind the curtain of time. I want you to tell me about it, I have. Every time, hasn't it perfectly come to pass, even at the platform? In other words, a public display, nothing behind the corner. Every time, hasn't it happened just like he said? This was thus saith the Lord. Now, what he's doing is encouraging us to believe what he's going to bring us, which is necessary for the resurrection, which people are going to turn down, but we believe become a part of it. Now, you may not understand that, but I'm going to tell you, every single thing that God ever presented to His own, which was already in the books for them, they had to believe it, and the sign that they were His children was that they did believe it. Huh? Well, thanks at least for one right. You know, I never ask for amens here. I would expect you to listen so closely, you ain't got time to hardly breathe. All right. Now watch. I stood there and looked over that time, and I saw tens of thousands times thousands coming. In other words, they came in waves of thousands. Young men and women throwing their arms around me, screaming. I looked right back and saw myself lying on the bed. Oh, Lord, let me look past the curtain of time. He repeats it. Now watch. Listen. What is it? It's quickening power that will catch us away, that great quickening power. Now, Brother Branham categorically says, what took place at that time? What caught him away, whether in the body or out of the body, is the same quickening power that's in our midst today to catch us up and away, the same as he was. And there is a test of our faith. Do we believe that he actually saw this? And those were the true words. Well, we know they are because they're here in 2 Thessalonians. Well, you say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the facts in 2 Corinthians. The 11th chapter, Paul said, you've already got another gospel, you've got another Jesus, and you've got another spirit. So therefore, at this time, we've come back to the God and the Jesus and the Word of the Apostle Paul. If we haven't, we better get there. So I just believe that testimony, bless God, that the great light came down. Well, did it? Do you believe the testimony there's only one God? The one that introduced himself, I'm Jesus, which is Jehovah's Savior? The Jehovah the old, Jesus of the new? Not the man, now that's the body. Not the Son of God that came down here and took on a body. I'm talking about the one that went into him at the River Jordan, of whom he said, my Father is telling me what to say. He's doing the talking. He's doing the works. The same as he created all worlds by that Son, but he was the doing of it. God, Christ, Holy Spirit, Jehovah, you name us all one God, one Spirit. It's just designations we'll understand more. Where he's anointing, where he isn't anointing. If Christ is in our midst, let me tell you flat, he is anointing us. That's God anointing his people. Use another title. You can put him way back yonder. See, Brother Branham categorically said, you've got to understand titles. Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. And he put a premium on it. So, all right, we're back. We're right here where the Apostle Paul was. Now, he said that quickening power is going to catch us away. The same Spirit of God that caught him up. And if we believe that took place based upon the spiraling and augmenting conclusive evidence of thus saith the Lord, we have no trouble believing that positively, as he was caught away to come back and fit the Scripture so perfectly, that one is here quickening us. Why? Because he's got the mind of God, and if we're like-minded to him, then we have the mind of Christ. You come on. Hey, listen. If A is equal to B, and B is equal to C, A, B, C are equal. Did I get that right? Yeah. Didn't forget my algebra that bad. Now, come on. Isn't that true? Listen. Say, well, you know, I got to have something to go with it. You add anything, you butt yourself out. If you take away, you've lost out. What are you fooling with? It's either right or wrong. Now, see, I'm going to tell you something. I felt good right then, and so did you. Something went off your heart. Just that simple. I'm not trying to be a prophet discerning. It's just that I'm not stupid. I'll take that back. Sounds like I'm boasting. There comes a time when you're not ignorant of the things of God, brother, sister. Come on. All right. Now watch. 195. The quickening power came in these last days. The power to make alive came in these last days. That is what I'm in Arizona for right now. There are many people sitting here, stood right here in Arizona, heard me tell you right here from this very platform, thus saith the Lord. How many remember? Something was fixing to happen. And it was. Now, I saw seven angels come. Didn't Life magazine pack it as the fog floated across here 27 miles high, 30 miles across, did not tread soft, and these others, Gene Norman sitting back there, stood right there. When those seven angels appeared right there on the hill, it shook the hills for miles around like that. There stood seven angels, one with a silver sword in his hand. Now you better keep that in mind. And said, go home and open the seven seals. Didn't say open six, it's open seven that are given. And here they are. Now listen, this is written, it was preached in 1965, just about 2 years, maybe a month more, after the seals opened. Now listen, what he says, and here they are, what was under those seals? The true mystery of marriage and divorce, the serpent seed and all those things been fussed about. It's thus saith the Lord. All right? There's no way that you can believe William Branham on his account of angels and what happened. There's no way. Unless you are perfectly sold on vindication. The ever-increasing, spiraling vindication of a prophet. And you will notice, as I read in Toronto, that this Roman Catholic priest was so correct when he said, it doesn't take any more omnipotence for 1,000 miracles than it does for one. In other words, the Catholic Church will rest upon one shred of what they consider to be evidence and push themselves and you into hell or into heaven. At least they got more brains than the Protestants. They don't even believe in it. So we praise the Catholics. All right. How many thousands of times have we had thus saith the Lord to vindicate his message? Thousands of times. The Roman Catholic Church, I'm sorry to say, is so far ahead of the Protestants. They're just going to take the Protestants all in, that's all. They're slicker, they're quicker. The daughter's all going back home. There could even be some Branhamites among them, I don't know. Now listen, we're going to read the seals. Because this is under the seventh seal that Brother Branham is speaking. I read some last time, but I'm going to read more today. Now notice, when the seven angels came forth to sound their trumpets, there was one thunder. When Israel was gathered, there was a trumpet. When time shall be no more, the last trumpet. One thunder. But here are seven straight thunders in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now why? If Satan should get hold of it, he might do a great damage. There's one thing he doesn't know. Now he can interpret anything he wants to and impersonate any kind of a gift. And I hope you're learning, he says. But he can't know this. It's not even written in the Word. Now he amended that, remember, later on. There's no such thing that this can't be in the Bible. It's there, but it's hidden and it's not revealed because you can't take a word and you can't add a word. They said, Brother Branham, you could write your own Bible. He said, how could I? So when he's talking about this here, he is not talking in terms that our conscious minds were grasping. We thought he was speaking of something that was to be interpolated or put in later, even as great students of prophecy thought would transpire. They knew God would have to send somebody, and it would be like a fresh manna or a fresh group of scripture. But I don't think for one minute that any of those people doubted that it would be related perfectly with all the rest. It would have to be. Because there's no scripture out of tune with any other scripture. You follow what I'm saying? So Brother Branham is not saying what we think he's saying. When he said it's not even written in the Word, he's telling you it's not compiled in one place as such. so that you can pick it up. And you can understand this because serpent seed is in the Bible, marriage and divorce is in the Bible, and so is everything else that's in the Bible he talks about. So, all right, there lies a mystery, and a mystery revealed, though it can still contain an element, is clear enough to place you so that you don't have to be in ignorance. In fact, at the end time, it's going to be very clear. Now watch about Satan. He can interpret anything he wants to, and he can impersonate any kind of a gift. Now, the word impersonate, let's just take a little peek at the word impersonate. It means to represent in the form of a person. So Satan can come right down here and use somebody to fool you. He can come right down here and actually make people think he is the Christ. Because it says right here, this word impersonate means to represent in the form of a person. And I've got scripture for you over here in 2 Thessalonians, I beg your pardon, 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, the 13th verse, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan is impersonating an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed. There's where your false prophets come from. And because they're genuinely anointed with the Holy Ghost to prophesy and do signs and wonders, people are completely confused. They don't understand. All right. It not only means to represent in the form of a person, it means to personify. In other words, you personify something, you're the embodiment of it. It means to embody, as he impersonates the spirit of God or the spirit of people, to act a part, to take on a character, to mimic. And Brother Branham uses the same word, there'll be no mimic to this. So, there is something here that absolutely is of tremendous moment, and without it, there certainly would not be a resurrection, there would not be a rapture. Okay, I'm not going to keep you in splints waiting for it, so we go over here to, because my mind's already functioning way ahead of my notes. In Ephesians, the first chapter, after the baptism with the Holy Ghost runs out, in verses 13 to 14. Notice. Wherefore also after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Notice faith and love. Faith and love. You got, you know, what is faith is a revelation. What is love? Based on the revelation. See, I've been trying to instruct this church for years and years. There's got to be a love come out of this word. If we love this word as our type voice, as Brother Branham gave, we should be desperately in love with each other instead of all the carping that's going on. There's too much division amongst us. You just won't listen to me because you don't believe it can happen. Now, be honest with you. Come on, run for God's sake, be real Christians for once in your lives. You really don't believe it can be this way. That's why on Friday night you're carping everything else. You do not believe that I'm telling you the truth that Brother Branham said, because of this word you love each other. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, I do too. We better get with it. I've been literally crucified over it. I can hardly go to other pulpits. But I'm going to tell you, those pulpits can't come in here either. Not that I hate anybody, but I believe we have the word revealed in this church as Brother Branham revealed it, because I can go to scripture after scripture and show you where it is in the word. If I couldn't do that, I'd quit. Because that's what a teacher's supposed to do. And he said, I got a little gift of healing. Nobody wants you. You got a gift of teaching. That's fine. Nobody wants it either. In fact, Brother Moore couldn't even get my name for years and years. And the same guys he talked to know where I live, they phoned me. I bet you a dollar home, don't I? I can name your name, Brother Moore. I know no problem. Hey, look. I'm glad it's that way. If I was a hail fellow well met, I'd just go home and die tomorrow and just blow my brains up. I don't want to be a hail fellow well met. Where's the cross? Where's the stigma? See, gifts and bind you together. But you preach a revealed word, that'll separate you like a hog is separated from an elephant. Now, if you can't tell a hog from an elephant, Got the same tie. Well, you know, it just won't work. Look at here. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our, now watch, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, He's telling you right there what it is. It's all in Him, and He's going to be here to give it to you. Who? The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God Himself coming down. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that's revelation, you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory is inherited in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of the power to us who believe, according to the wicked mighty power which He wrought in Christ. Now it tells you right there that God Himself comes down with a revelation. Paul said this. This is 2 Thessalonians I read in chapter 1. And what revelation is it going to be? It's going to be the same that He gave Paul. And it's going to bring on a resurrection. Hey, have I lost anybody? I'm not scolding now. Please, 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 please don't. I just want to ask you, have I lost anybody? Can't you see what I'm saying? Can't you see what the Word of God is saying here? When the baptism with the Holy Ghost runs out, which it does, when the last one is in, sealed in, the child training goes on. God Himself comes down. He Himself, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, the revelation of Him Himself doing it. The same as He did with Paul. What revelation is going to be? It's going to be Paul's revelation. There can't be a second one. And Paul says right here, it's going to put you into the rapture. First of all, resurrection. Then who is the quickening power? What is it? It's God Himself quickening. He's bringing life to His own Word, giving it the power to be absolutely manifested in His own seed word people. Well, come on, that's the truth. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm preaching you the truth. I don't care what anybody says. This is vindicated, thus saith the Lord. That's a scientific picture. Nobody else has got that. Well, come on. So, hey, listen. I can't help what anybody else has or doesn't have. I don't like to see people destroyed and go up in a flame of fire. They're destroyed in this earth. I'm not the author of that. I don't rejoice. But my Bible says when you see this thing take place which means destruction, you lift up your heads, your hands, and rejoice because your redemption comes right with it. The left and the right hand of God go together. Blessings on the right hand and cursing on the left. I'll preach it before or I'll give you the tape, one of the two, to take home. If I don't feel like preaching, I'll give you the poor tape we had in Toronto. It's a good tape, but it just didn't get... They didn't put the volume right or something. Now listen. We're reading here. Now, he can interpret anything he wants to and impersonate any kind of gift. Now, you get that in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 9, where they have the lying signs and wonders. And you get the interpretation starting on Genesis 3, 1 to 5, when he took the word of God and he said, hey, he said, didn't God tell you something about eating this or eating that? He said, yes, he certainly did. What did he tell you? Well, he said, if you eat the tree of this knowledge and evil, we're going to die. Why? He said, come, tut, 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 tut. He said, I've got a revelation for you. You know that jerk didn't even have one sign? He just conned her right now? Listen to me. He never gave her one, thus saith the Lord, one sign, one nothing. He just conned her. And so does the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church con their people. And the minute we say, thus saith the Lord, it's got to come before the Word to vindicate the man as God's prophet. Oh, no, 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 no. Like this guy phones me all the time. I said, Bill, trouble with you is you're listening to a bunch of idolaters, Trinitarians. Oh, he said, they're not. I said, but they are. Oh, no, they believe in one God. See, right there, he let me know he didn't believe in one God. He's a liar. I don't know. One day he may be the death of me. I don't know. I think he's sent to cause me real problems. I don't know. Got him out of jail. Maybe should have left him there, but the Lord told me to go and see him. He's a liar. He's with the idolaters. He got it all set up. He's way above Brother Branham and everybody. He's just trying to find all loopholes. He ain't going to find one. Thus saith the Lord's impregnable. I'm going to tell you one thing. When you spit in God's face because of God's simplicity, you deserve the lowest place that God's ever going to put you in hell. Now, I may sound judgmental, but that's my business. I'll sound judgmental. That goes for me, it goes for my wife and my kids, everybody else. It goes for every single person here. Let's not kid around, brother, sister. Destiny has been set. I don't care how little you and I feel it. I don't care if we're not emotional around. We'll go to the Pentecostal church. And listen, I'm going to tell you what. I'll bring in the best drum beater. Who plays the drum? I'll get you double beating this and that. We'll get you hollering, screaming here, climbing walls. And I'm going to tell you, you'll go right to hell doing it. Because my Bible says right here, you've got to have this revelation or you will not be in the resurrection and the rapture. You say what you want. I'm going to tell you, God has already said it. You do what you want. I mean, it's the truth. I can do what I want. I can go out here and do anything I want. I can spit in God's face, deny Him, do anything I want. Everybody here can do the same thing. If you're like Brother Branham, say, I do what I want. I want to please Him, and I'll just keep on pleasing Him. I never got that far. I want to sort of please us both, like you. I'm a nasty preacher. Well, if you think so, that's okay. I hope you're learning. Now, I'm telling you something right here, and under this seventh seal, that the devil positively cannot have anything to do with, at least at this time. No matter what. This is a move that is fatal to Satan. And remember, it is a revelation because revelation is already based upon a move. And the move is vindication, right? Huh? So you don't need vindication. Well, you have it. So this is, thus saith the Lord. What is it? Revelation. Huh? I'll read it again. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and even revelation of the knowledge of Him. The eyes your understanding being enlightened, you may know. Let's just keep progressing. In other words, there is a certain knowledge released at the end time that is quickened to us from the Word of God by the great quickener Himself, and we quicken to it, are quickened to get out of here, and the dead graves are open, and they come with us. And it's a revelation. You know why? Because you already believe there's going to be a resurrection. You're not be sold on that. Well, hey, if I was sold on the fact that Mercedes-Benz was the best car in the world and I had the money to buy it, you think I wouldn't go down and buy a Mercedes-Benz? Well, certainly. What do Christians believe in? The Son Jesus rose from the dead. And so now Brother Branham is saying, you pagans out here, you're saying Jesus rose from the dead, and you know positively, as far as your dogma is concerned, there is a resurrection, though in your own mind you wish there weren't or something or other. You could figure it and finagle this and that. He said, I'm telling you now, this resurrection that you believe in, called Easter, you're wrong on. You are not going to be a part of it unless you are quickened to the vindication of the events and the revelation that lies therein. Oh, come on. Merciful God, let me read it to you. Now, unto you, dear children, here in outside of St. Paris, when you get into grade 8, you will learn some algebra. Three basic types. When you get into grade 9, we will add some geometry. When you get to grade 10, we'll add some trigonometry. And when you get to grade 11, we'll get you into some plain physics and mathematics that pertain to physics. Anyone understand that? And can't you understand this? And when it's over, we graduate you. Well, that's all it's saying. When the baptism runs out, the last one is baptized, God comes down Himself to child train. Flip her over. Hope you brought your calendars. shows a process. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 graduate. Huh? Understand what I'm saying? Now, what's the big deal? There's no big deal. It's simple as A, B, C. Now, the thing is, have you seen it? Are you going through it? Do you receive it? As Brother Branham said, believe it and receive it. I read it right down here. Let's read a little more, and I'll get back to the seals. What is it? The quickening power coming to the church, making her ready in this hour we're approaching. Quickening power. Oh, God, help us receive it. Help us to believe it. See, it depends on what attitude you take as to whether it's going to do you any good or not, though. You have to believe that. If you don't believe it, it won't do you one bit of good. He says right here, if you can't believe the simplicity that I'm bringing from the Word of God, and remember, it's thus saith the Lord, just like Paul. William Branham didn't go to any Bible any more than Paul went to the Bible. He spoke by vindication. So did William Branham. He didn't bypass the Bible. He said, it's in there. I'm going to preach it. And he preached it. That's why I go word by word. I'm taking right back here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 follows 6. 8 follows 7. 9 follows 8. 10 follows 9. No, he said, this is what it takes. Right? Nobody believes it except us. Because we're stupid. Huh? We're dumb bunnies. I would sooner be a dumb bunny, bless God. The smartest guy in the world. Because if you don't believe the truth, you're going to believe a lie. Now, come on. You say, well, I don't think so. You're a liar. Adam and Eve. Now, Adam was not deceived. He deliberately did what he did. The Bible said, because of one man's disobedience, sin entered in death by sin, by one man's obedience. Cleared the record. Eve was seduced. She was fooled. And Eve just went right along with her. See those preachers? Oh, God, the dumb bunch of preachers out there, you know. The people that get itchy ears and the preachers come by and scratch for a good salary, you know. Like Brother Branham said, they don't dare leave their pensions. All right. We're back here now on the seals, whether you can follow me or not. Look. Now I hope you understand, it's not written in the Word. It's there, but it's not put in one place. It's a total secret, absolutely. The angels, everything shut up. In other words, what's a total secret? The totality of the Word coming into effect. When that which is perfect is come, there's no more parts. It's all over. It's a wind-up. It's a polishing off, see? So it's a total secret. Nobody can put that word together like Paul. It's got to be God and another Paul, which in the Bible distinctly says it's got to be Elijah, because that's Malachi 4, and Malachi 4 is 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse 10. Right? Look it up. You'll find it. Now, if they made one move, it might give something away. Everything shut up. Even angels, they shut up. Quit harping. Everything stop. Now, that's over here. Paragraph 196. Go home and open those 7 seals. 7, God's perfect number. 7 thunders right in a row. Don't write it. Jesus never spoke it. And John couldn't write it. Angels knew nothing about it. Well, they couldn't, of course. What is it? It's the thing that Jesus said even the angels of heaven didn't know anything about it, see? He didn't know it himself. He said only God would know it. But he told us when we begin to see these signs coming up. Now you're getting somewhere. Notice, we begin to see these signs coming up. If Satan could get hold of it. Now, he talks about, if you don't want something to happen, if you want something to happen, don't let anybody know. As long as you don't say something, Satan cannot get it. So that's why there's nothing said in the Bible in a way that Satan can get a hold of it. And there's nothing like this that Satan can possibly duplicate. No way, shape, or form. It just cannot be done. Now, the key what I'm looking at is this. He said only God would know it, but he told us when we begin to see these signs coming up. Now, the only place I can possibly go to, and I'm not guessing, I'm doing my best to stay with what Brother Branham taught, is in Matthew 24. They went out, departed from the temple, the disciples came and showed in the building of the temple, and Jesus said, see not all these things, verily say, there shall not be one stone left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. As he sat, now verse 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, disciples came privately saying, tell us when shall these things be, the temple ripped down. And what shall be the sign of thy presence? That word coming is presence, so don't try to make it other than prusion. And it doesn't refer to the event, it refers to the person being there. He said, he's telling you right here, now these people knew something that the scholars today do not know, and has been guessed at by Jehovah's Witness and other people, but they never got it right. Remember, the Baptists didn't get eternal security right. Remember, those Calvinists did not get predestination right. From the time of Paul, the whole word has slipped into error, and the correction is going to take us right back to the Apostle Paul. And that's exactly what you're looking at, and nobody can do this. The devil can't do it. There's no way it can be done unless the very author that gave the word to the Apostle Paul comes right down and explains it to somebody the way he gave it to Paul. Now, that's absolutely logical. And it's not just logical, it's right in the Bible. All right. What shall be the end of the sign of the present and the end of the world, which means the consummation of the age? When's it all going to be over? So, okay, ripping the temple down, 70 A.D., what's going to be the sign of your presence? Is there an actual sign? What's it all about? What presages gives us the understanding that the world ages are being consummated? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, right, watch what Brother Branham said. If the devil could get this, he would do great damage. He would turn right around and deceive and do many, many things. Now, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name and saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. In other words, I am the anointed one. I am the one that you're to listen to. Now, remember, the Jews themselves believe that Elijah is Messiah. When Elijah comes to the Jews, that's going to be Messiah. Brother Branham said, Elijah of our hours, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not man, God comes by a prophet, right? Notice a complete, perfect understanding of Scripture. Now, many will come and say, I am the anointed one, and deceive many. Now, how do they deceive? The ones that deceive are the wolves in sheep clothing, which are false prophets. They are anointed incorrectly to the word, but they are anointed by the Holy Ghost, even as the son of perdition. And you'll hear wars and rumors of war. See, be not troubled, for all these things will come to pass. The end is not yet. Nation rises against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And Brother Branham says, but that started in 1914. These are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall deliver you up, be afflicted, and shall kill you, and be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I want you to notice something. That can refer 100% to the Jews. Because you name Jesus Christ to the Jews, he'll spit on you. Almost all of them. They'll say, Allah's a false god, Jesus a false prophet. Tell you flat. And so for the very name of Jesus, they try to exterminate the Jews in the name of Jesus. Figure it out for yourself. Every scripture's got double meanings. Look at it. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, shall hate one another. Now watch. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Notice the whole theme is deception. As to what is of God and what is not of God, and who is of God and who is not of God. And yet in the book of Malachi, it says at the end time you'll discern who is righteous and who is not righteous. It'll tell you. And who serves God and who doesn't serve God. So when this Spirit comes down, which is God, he will give us something whereby we know. See? Now, there's nothing the devil can do about this. Now, what's the sign of a true prophet? The sign of a true prophet, absolutely, if he's a word prophet, which he will be as Paul was, he must be like Moses, because Brother Branham himself said, will you? He said, Moses, Paul, and myself. Put the three in. It's right on tape. He will have the miracles and the signs before the word and talk face to face with God. Right there. There's a picture. All right. You show me where the devil can do that and produce, "Thus saith the Lord," and I'll eat it. There's no way. There is no way. It's been absolutely cleared, and Brother Branham states it. What comes under those seals has been cleared by vindication, and there's only one vindication worth a plug nickel. I don't care what follows the word. Forget what follows the word. What comes before the word? To make you know that God has vindicated himself to you, and you can come and prove to me that you're vindicated by God. Thus saith the Lord. Because of integrity. Now, if I go to hell, I don't know what God's going to do to me. I hope not. I've got a correct testimony. At least. So what good will that do you? I wouldn't have to suffer so long, I tell you that much. So at least we're getting on the right side of the ledger. We could end up as foolish virgin, thank God. And you know, when the squeeze comes down, I hope one thing, that we become models of Christianity for the sake of Christ. That we might suffer if necessary. Because this is too big to fool with. Okay, let's go on. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many wax cold. Now, what's he been talking about? Prophets that bring the word. So therefore the people, because of pressure, will leave the word and go to the false word. Deception, iniquity, false prophet. Can't be without a true prophet. No way. But they that endure shall be saved. And this gospel begins to preach in all the world for witness to all nations, then shall the end come. Wherefore you shall see the abomination of desolation. Now, hey, you can read that. You can read that several ways. You can read it back in the time of Christ. You can read it at the time of the Mosque of Omar. That's being the mosque, or not of Omar, but that mosque that's over the holy place where the temple is. And also, they're going to have a temple again. See? Now, there's a certain admonition here concerning the people back there, but it also is an admonition for this time. But especially verse 21, "For then great tribulation shall be, such as have the world has not seen or been." In those days must be shortened, or there won't be any elect saved. Now watch, "If any man shall say, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not." Now watch again, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch possible to deceive the elect." Now what is he? He says everything that Paul said. They started in the early church with their deception, Satan transforming himself, and at the end time it's another deception. But Satan cannot do this one thing. He cannot come with "Thus saith the Lord." He cannot face the living word of God. So we're in a match between two spirits. The Son of Man and the Son of Perdition, which has been manifested. And only when the bride is gone will the Antichrist be able to take over. Now notice, I've told you before. "Wherefore, if they say unto you, Behold, he's in the desert, going on forth, in the secret chamber, believe it not." Now let's keep listening to me. Watch in 27. "For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shines unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Brother Branham said, exactly the same light that was in the east, it will manifest in the west, which is true. Now, Paul tells us, he said, that which makes manifest is light. Right? And so, therefore, when the Son of Man manifests himself, if the Son of Man ministry returns, it is positively, as we have seen, "And thus saith the Lord," there is no mistake. You know positively who this one is that's on the scene at this hour. Now, "For wherever the carcasses, the eagles are gathered," absolutely, the bride comes together on the word. Now watch. Immediately after the tribulation, which means pressure. You that are troubled, you that are pressured, rest with us. There is a time of pressure going on right now, which is almost immeasurable, because it's satanic pressure. And the greatest battle ever fought, which is the giving over the mind to the pure word of God. That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. Always. Questions, 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 questions. Shut up and sit down and stop asking questions. I can't stand questions anymore. And women are the offenders. It's in their nature. Questions, 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 questions. And a woman types the church. Jesus did not ask questions. No, 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 no. You listen. Now, you and the bride, aren't you this morning? You some female out there with the rascals that came out of Rome, the prostitute harlot bunch? Or can you sit and listen? I know I sat one guy down and I bulldozed him. By God, I'll never do it again. I won't mention his name, you know him. I said, for Pete's sake, Bud, and his name isn't Bud, why don't you just sit down, shut up, and listen? You haven't heard one thing I said. The moment I opened my mouth, your mind was forming questions, and they came out of your mouth. You got nothing. Now shut up and listen. And that's what he needed, because he was a bulldozer. I bulldozed him. Never should have done it. Now, if you think I'm bulldozing you, giving you a mindset, hey, forgive me. I'm only preaching this way for those that really want what I want, what I'm telling you, what I believe we have from Brother Branham. That's all. You have got to stop asking questions. That is questioning what the prophet said. Just believe it. I don't care if you understand it or not. God will give us understanding as time goes on. Since there's a further sanctification in the millennium, don't get so anxious that you're going to beat yourself to death. That's bad. Now listen, immediately after the pressure of those days, that's what we're going to, days of the Son of Man, renewing the mind, all these things. Now watch, the tribulation sets in. See? Immediately, then, there'll be, after that, the powers of earth shaken, verse 30. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and they're all going to mourn, and so on and so on. That's to the Jews in the tribulation. Now, since we see the coming of the Son of Man mentioned here, we go to Luke, the 17th chapter, where you learn of the Son of Man. What about him? It says in verse 22, the days will come when you desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, you'll not see it. And they shall say, see here, see there, going up and follow them. Now watch, for as lightning the light out of one part under heaven shines the other part of heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. Now that's Matthew. The light from the east comes to the west, proving absolutely what makes manifest his light. He proved he was Messiah. He proves it again today in Matthew 12. Manifested. Son of Man. Now watch. But first he must suffer and be rejected. He was. Now watch. These days will come. As it was in the days of Noah, so should be the days of the Son of Man. In other words, just before the cataclysm comes, the days of the Son of Man appear, that which makes manifest his light, and when Christ makes himself manifest, that's God himself, come down, as the great anointer anointing, comes down here, positively proves who he is, right there, and then having vindicated himself, we know that he is telling us the truth which we receive. And that's just blunt, plain English. Now, ate, they drank, and so on. Now watch. Likewise, in the days of Lot, same time, rain, fire, and brimstone. What does that tell you? That tells you that this is the ministry that accompanies Elijah because fire and brimstone come down. So the Son of Man is linked with Elijah. Absolutely the prophet. No doubt. Now watch. Thus it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now watch. In that day, he and the house stop don't come down. He and the field don't return. Remember Lot's wife? Whoever shall seek to save his life will lose it, and so on. Now watch. 34. In that night, that time, there'll be two in a bed, one taken, one left. What does that mean? Rapture take place around the earth, where the eagles are gathered together. There's the carcass. They're going to gather around the Lord, the word dividing the people. Now, what am I trying to show you? I'm trying to show you there are two sets of signs. The sign that you and I are interested, the sign, or the sign that we are interested in, is simply, absolutely, what we're looking at in the ministry of Brother Branham. The messianic sign, which is discerning the hearts of the people. And knowing that his ministry is thoroughly vindicated, we have utmost faith that he is bringing us the truly revealed word of the Apostle Paul that we've got to believe in this hour to get out of here, and God himself is doing it through his prophet. Now, I know that no theologian is going to believe me. But I sure hope you do. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time except for myself. Because I believe it. It's the only thing there is. You can never live. So notice, he says in one place, they're going to see the sign of the Son of Man appear. And the other place, now that's tribulation. The other place is, what is the sign of thy presence? Tell us about it. And he said, the sign of the presence is, the presence will be there, and you will sure know it's there by the very fact that you're going to have everybody rise up after it and do their own thing and have their own little story, their own little tape recordings, their own little everything, and they're going to turn it down flat. But he said, I want you to know one thing. He said, this is the same that happened over there in Israel, and at the same ministry of Christ is not produced in the Holy Spirit that was produced when he was there in flesh. It is not that one. You see what I'm talking about? The presence? That's why Brother Branham said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. We preach it every single sermon, hour after hour after hour. It's just the way it's lined up in the Bible. It's the way Brother Branham preached. It's 100% right. So you see the signs coming up. Now he said, listen. If Satan could get a hold of this, he would do great damage. Now, Satan can get a hold of every single thing to this point. Now, watch it and understand this. Brother Branham tells us categorically on other tapes that when this seed is properly germatized in the properly fertilized soil, which is we are God's husbandry, it catches and no error can come into the womb of the mind which is sealed. Now, how is your mind sealed as to the word? Well, you see, that's simple as ABC. Moses came vindicated to the people that he was going to talk for God. Can these other guys do it? No, only William Branham could do it. Only Paul could do it. Only Moses could do it. Only Jesus could do it. He began to do before he taught. And William Branham proved who he was before he taught. When the voice that came to me in prophecy said, behold, I send my prophet out of the north, and he shall teach the people the things they ought to know. That was an exact true prophecy of God concerning William Branham, who vindicated, came on the scene, and he was the one I was to listen to. You say, well, that's you, Levi. Well, hallelujah, look at him. I'm going to stand here proud as punch. That something spoke to my heart. That's corroborated. Manifest of God. Where out there lies nothing but spiritual adultery and death. So you do what you want about it. I'm a tough cookie. I know what was in my heart. I know what I saw. Absolutely. This has got to be the truth. Live, die, sink, or swim. And hallelujah, I'm going to tell you one thing about it. Noah lived. He didn't die, and he didn't sink, and he didn't swim. He floated over the top. And then Noah beat him to it even then. Now, you will notice here that Brother Branham tells us if you're planning to do something, don't tell anybody because the devil gets it, then he can cross you up. He said it always happens, so the thing to do is never tell anybody. So what did God do? God did not tell anybody in the particular sense that this which would come in our day would come in such a manner that Satan could now do anything about it, either before it or with it or after it. Because that is the correction that we need to understand. Satan cannot come ahead with thus saith the Lord, neither at this time can he twist it because it's in the open and put on tapes. Neither can he do one thing with you and me. toward the end time. Now let me prove it to you. Paul is talking to the people that are full of the Holy Ghost. Let's go back to Ephesians. I want you to get this down flat. Now he said, that after talking, he said that we, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of glory who first trusted in Christ. Now watch. In whom you also trusted, they got the word in there, or in whom you're also after him. In other words, you're his child. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And what gospel is that? Paul's gospel. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now it tells you right there that if you belong to that group and you are down here at the end time, you will believe the identical revelation of Paul, which has gone astray for 2,000 years, and you will know the quickening power of God. That's why Brother Branham, preaching the Easter seal, introduces the seals in order that the people know that this is positively a part of the resurrection, is the quickening power. So therefore, if you are a part of the revelation, you are a part of the resurrection. If you're a part of the Word, you're a part of Christ. There is no way you can get around this. Now, so Satan cannot do anything about it. You know when Jesus appeared in the scene, he said, if you be the Son of God, it's the same thing today. Now remember, he says in down here, Satan will try to impersonate. He'll try to impersonate everything the church will do. He tried to do it. We've noticed it through the Antichrist. This is one thing he cannot impersonate. There'll be no mimics of this seed because he don't know it. There's no way for him to know it. It's the third pull. He knows nothing about it, see? He doesn't understand. But there's a secret lays beneath that, glory to God in the highest. I could never think the same the rest of my life when I saw it. Now, I'm going to take you right back to page 562 and read again like I read the other day. Now, here's what he said. Here it is, the one with the seventh seal, the angel that he liked the best or saw the most. The thing that I've wondered all my life, amen. Those other seals meant a lot to me, of course, but oh, you don't know what this meant. For one time in my life. Now, he's letting you know that the importance of this thing to him. This is the climax of his entire life. I prayed to God. After that Phoenix meeting, any people there with me know I laid in the mountain. One morning I got up, went in Sabina Canyon. Great high rugged mountain, so on. Now, he tells you how he got out there. Now, over here. Here's what happened. He's up there praying. And I had my hands out, and all at once something hit my hand. I don't know. I can't say. Did I go to sleep? Now, he's talking over here. He said, there stood seven angels with a silver sword in his hand. And one has a silver sword. Okay? Was it a vision? The only thing I can say, just the same thing like those angels. And it struck my hand. Now, notice over here it's in the angel's hand. Over here he doesn't say it's in the angel's hand. This is Sabina Canyon. Right? What it is. There's a difference. There's different geography. It's not the same geography. He's not on hunting hogs now. This is different. This is a progression we're looking at. Now, the angel, this one angel had this silver sword. Now, he's praying at Sabina Canyon. His hands are up and something strikes his hand. I looked. It was a sword. It had pearl handles. It real pretty. It had a guard over it with gold. And the blade looked like something like chrome, like silver. Only it's real shiny. It was so feather-edged sharp, oh my. And I thought, isn't that the prettiest thing? Just fit my hand. And I thought, that's awful pretty. But I said, hey, I was always afraid of those things. That's a sword. And I thought, well, what do I do with that? Now watch. Just then a voice shook down there through the rocks that rocked the rocks and said, it's the sword of the king. Then I came out of it. The sword of the king? Now, if they said the sword of a king, but it said the sword of the king, and there's only one the king, and that's God, and he has one sword, that's his word, what I live by. See, anointed. So help me, God. Now watch, listen to me. Bring on his holy vesture with his holy word laying there. It's the word, amen. Now, what has the sword got to do with dress? He said, I thought maybe I was going to get knighted, some like some great honor. He said, that wasn't his. I believe I've been ordained to dress a bride. He said, find a bride of such character to stand still in the waters of separation and listen to the word of God until she's dressed correctly. And that's exactly what the book of Ephesians says in the 5th chapter. All right. What a day we're living in. What a great thing. See the mystery, the secret, the third. Standing there when this left me, something just came to me and said, don't fear. Now, I didn't hear any voice like on the inside spoke. I just tell the truth. Just exactly what happened. Something said, don't fear. This is that third pull. Now, it's the third pull. Okay. Remember, you've had so many impersonators on this, what you tried to explain. Don't even try this. Do you remember it? How many remembers that vision? Why, it's all over tapes everywhere. That's been 6 years, 7 years ago. Don't try to explain that. This is the third pull, but I'll meet you in there. Is that right? He said, don't try. Now, I'll meet you in there. What is meet you in there? That's where that great big structure was with the little cubicle. I'll meet you in there. And remember, as one descended there, there was another with him behind him. And I think at that time, there's literally two flames of fire. I'm not positive. But you're going to find a very peculiar situation with this prophet. Now, this is not Joseph Smith, a Mormon, condoning multiple wives and all that kind of crud. This is thus saith the Lord, a man with thus saith the Lord. This is a man vindicated by signs and wonders before he opened his mouth. Just like Jesus, just like Paul, just like Moses. This is not somebody selling you a bunch of tripe. You know, tripe is the lining of a cow's stomach, sheep or anything else. So you make soup out of it. That's worse than the soup made of the shadow of a chicken that starved to death. Yet the people eat it. Well, guess they have their taste. He said, don't try this. Don't try to explain. Don't say a word. He didn't. Just backed right off. Now the point is, do you believe that this is of God or don't you? That's the whole thing. He's not going to try to explain it. Not going to worry about it. Either you believe that this links up because he links it, and he links Easter seal with the vision beyond curtain of time, and he links the seventh seal. Now he said it's all backed by vindication. And if you cannot see vindication, you will not see this, and I'm sorry, it's over. You've got to believe. And the believing is the mysteries that are revealed under the seventh seal, the seven thunders, will be exact conjunction and parallel to Ephesians 1:17-23, over to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, back to 1 Corinthians 15, putting the church in order, back over to Acts 3, Elijah must come and restore the word. Right down the line to Malachi 4, that's part of the 6th verse, the hearts turned back to children. You have got to just stand there and say, listen, I believe this based on vindication, and it's not going to be explained because God is going to reveal it to you or nobody is. Now, I can teach all I want, and if you're not a child of God, you'll get nothing from me. If this is not for you, you'll go plumb over your head. Now he said there's nothing the devil can do about this, and there's nothing the devil has done or will do, because there it is, thus saith the Lord. Your third pull is the bringing of the word, which, now let me go to Acts 3 and tell you why I teach what I teach, and you'll understand more. And there's no mimicking. There's nobody can imitate it. Nobody can come by and say, I'm going to duplicate William Branham. You watch my spoke, thus saith the Lord. You watch it. Now, we're not finished, so hold your horses. You've got to turn the tape over, turn it, we'll get another tape ready. Now, he says here, Peter's preaching. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Now, there should be a period there. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, even he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Now, Brother Branham categorically said, it was a great healing revival, and there can be no true healing revival unless there's a fresh message. So the presence of God himself brings a vindication as to the word. Now watch. whom the heavens must retain until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, who is it to restore? Jesus said it was Elijah. So, between the time of the great miraculous outpouring, vindication, ministry, and the time of Jesus, Elijah must come and restore the word. There you are. Now, I'm going to ask you a question again. Who do you know that you can possibly back up and say, get on this platform like William Branham and give us a miracle ministry that vindicates you as the man to talk? Can't do it. Can't do it. There's no man living has the vindicated. Listen, let's get it flat. Jesus began both to do and to teach. And everybody says, isn't that sweet? If you better live the life before you talk about the life, just drop dead, eh, kid? You're so messed up on that scripture, bring my hand. He began to do, he had to, or he couldn't have taught. He said, believe me for the work's sake. Believe what? What he said. Come on. Come on. You understand what a prophet is? Paul said the same thing. From Jerusalem to Illyricum. He said, absolutely proven. I never came with just the word. I came in power to prove it was the word. Now you bring on the Pope. You bring on anybody. You bring on your preachers. You bring on the whole world. And I'll stand here and I'll laugh in their cotton picking, dying, lying faces. Because they haven't got it. They're Judases to the cause of Jesus Christ and liars after Satan. Now get it flat. You've got to have it before the word, kid. You're going to buy cocaine off of me? I wouldn't trust you for 2 minutes. You put the money in my hand, I will give you a shot. How can the world be smart and so-called Christians so dumb and so stupid? Especially the bigwigs. I proved you. I told you I'd prove on Friday night something the prophet said you didn't have a clue to hardly. In Toronto, you got the words by the Catholic theologian himself. Stand where the Protestants don't even stand. You know, there's something fishy about the Protestants than there are about the Catholics. You know how quick fish can stink. The Protestants stink a whole lot more than the Catholics in a shorter length of time. Listen, Elijah must truly come and restore. Absolutely, Elijah must come and restore, and he does restore. Now, where are we? I was over here in 162. I read that far. Listen, that's maybe as far as I'm going to read on this. Now, Brother Branham thought he was going to die. But it was a furtherment of his work. He said, it was a furtherment of my work. What was his work? His work was the ministry, wasn't it? As John the Baptist forerun the first coming of Christ, so your message will forerun the second. And so therefore his ministry is a message. Isn't that true? Absolutely. All right, didn't he say in 1962, he said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. So therefore, he declared and proved the absolute, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, returned to earth in the form of the Holy Spirit and the pillar of fire, Almighty God, Elohim, call him what you want. Now, this is not the Son from with the covenant that's on the, that was on the mercy seat and on the throne. No, no, no. Not the one. This is the one made flesh in the flesh of that one, born of Mary, the Son, that said he laid aside it all and came down. Difference entirely. This is that real Melchizedek you talk about, the one way back there. See, all right. He said, that is it. This is exactly what it is. And he said, Satan doesn't, he hasn't got a clue about it. Well, that might be kind of an understatement or an overstatement, what do you want to put it? Satan's got a lot of clues that won't do him any good. Satan knows how the word comes. Got to come with vindication. But there's nothing Satan can do about it, and there is no mimic to it. Now watch, there's no mimic, because it's laid in the scripture what the true prophet is and what the false prophet is. So I don't care what he does, I don't care what he says, there is nothing that's going to shake this bride loose, because she knows that man's got to come vindicated before he opens his mouth. And that's exactly what we saw today was Elijah. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God dwelling in a man as God is in the prophets. So Brother Branham could say that we positively stand, you're looking at me, aren't you, and seeing me. That was on the basis of question, what did Jesus mean when he said, he that seen me has seen the Father? Well, he said, you're looking at me. He said, who do you think says, thus saith the Lord, and the boy leukemia get healed, not William Branham? You know, people, hey, you know, people don't believe that. Oh, so I'm full of the Holy Ghost, bless God. Well, why don't you do something about it? Come on. You're so full of the Holy Ghost that you can deny the prophet. Come on. Just get, for God's sake, just do one little thing. Don't sit there picking your noses, or I'll challenge you. And I'll pray to God, and he'll do something for me. I'm not afraid not to vindicate Levi. I've seen miracles make your eyes bug out. I got living witnesses. So don't talk to me about anything you think you got. I'm not saying you ain't got anything. I'm just saying, hey, don't you smart off against this, because, listen, in his shadow, I was nothing and am nothing. Whew, brother, sister. See, the devil, he is, we have the answer to the devil. Absolutely. Now, I wanted to read you something here. It's in here, but I'm not going to be able to find it for you just off the bat. Brother Branham talks about... Give me a little more time here, we'll let you go. Brother Branham is talking about this vision... He said, remember, I'll meet you in there. Remember, we read that. This is the third pole. Now, he said it slid right into the Bible where the rest came from. Now, listen carefully. He is talking Easter sealed the resurrection. So what is he talking about? He's talking about these visions go plump into the resurrection. You follow me? What we haven't seen transpire will transpire. It's going on now. There's a transfiguration going within our bodies by the renewing of the mind, by the renewing of the Word. Which Word we're getting into the soul. Now remember, that's exactly what it says in the book of Romans. You are transfigured by the renewing of your mind. And the Bible says when the veil is lifted off of the mind, that's when your renewing and your transfigure starts on in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd to 4th chapter. And that is a ministry. And it's a ministry of grace that God allows a man to have, which was Paul. Now there couldn't be a resurrection at that hour. So now there is a repeat at the end time. Now, he said, it slid into the Bible. Oh, come on, what does he mean? It's in the resurrection. It's right in the Word of God. That tent vision had everything to do with the resurrection, the third pole. If there was not the Word of God revealed in this hour, there could not be a resurrection. And people say, well, just a minute, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. I've challenged time after time and said, give me one reason why Jesus Christ needed John the Baptist. Give me one reason. The Bible distinctly says, he shall go before the Lord God of Israel in the power of Elijah of old. Why did God need John the Baptist? Give me one reason. Nobody can. You quote Scripture. Drop dead. I can quote Scripture too. You tell me. You can't do it. Because if you were God, the kind of person you are, and I'm the kind of person I am, we wouldn't even think of John the Baptist. Now he turns around and he says, I'm going to send you Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord. They said, who needs Elijah? Well, come on, tell me why we need Elijah. You can't tell me why we need Elijah. Nobody can tell why. Except God said so and then told us in the Bible. Because why does God need anybody? You see what I'm trying to get across to you? You've got to believe this or it doesn't do you any good. You've got to see that these visions that Brother Branham talked about came right from the Bible, slid right back in there again, and were absolutely a part of the resurrection. If we don't have, we don't make it. He says, well, bless God, that Bill's the stupidest jackass I ever heard. I don't think Brother Branham said that. No way, because I've got Jesus. Hallelujah, I've got Jesus. You're a liar. You ain't got even a skunk by the tail. If you got that. Anybody can talk about Jesus, kid. I can talk about it. Come on. People talking tongues committing adultery. Don't talk to me. Preachers split up homes so they can get the women. Don't tell me I'll name names, I'm telling you. Don't pretend anything with me because it's too late in the day. Too late in the day for pretenses. That's real. For all I know, it's real. How real? I don't know how real it is. How am I to know? I can't read my own heart. Only God can read my heart. I'm going to tell you the truth. I said, real as Brother Branham? Don't be silly. If I had a real as Brother Branham, in the sense of the reverence and the awe, I'd feel so good this morning, but I don't feel good at all. Because I'm not preaching the truth. And I know that there's more truth on ice than there's truth on fire, and I don't like that. But you see, we are in the resurrection, and these things which have been indicated, which is vindication, now prove the prophet 100% telling us the truth. This is that which was required. Now that boggles the mind. I got Jesus. He died upon Calvary. I don't care if he did. Let's just find out about the blood. Let's go to John 3:16. I've done this many times. I'll do it again for you. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Love cost you something. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, have everlasting life. So that's a ticket. Believe it. Now watch. He explains it. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That tells you. Now watch. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He's repeating it. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now notice the name. Now watch, 19. And this is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. In other words, when something comes on the scene to manifest, that's light. And it points you to truth. And you turn it down, the blood of Jesus Christ doesn't do one thing for you except condemn you. That's Hebrews, the 10th chapter also. Now you see the Catholic Church has gone to Virgin Mary. I don't blame them. I'd look for something too, if I was so far off the Word. Catholic Church left the Word 100%. All it is shambles. And the Protestants are no different because the life is gone. There's only one life left, and that is the life we're talking about. Now what is it? Brother Branham says here, he said all these doctrines have come forth. The truth has come forth. The Word is restored. We're right back to the Apostle Paul. All the mysteries of Revelation 10 and 7 are open. He's telling us. What is it? That quickening power coming to the church, making her ready in this hour we're approaching. Quickening power. He tells you right there, without this you won't be ready. Huh? Let's go to Luke. I know I've warned you. I don't mean to do these things, but it's just, hey, look. The whole seventh seal lying before me here, and I haven't even got time to read it. Doing this to show you these. I know I can't show it to you perfect. I wish I could. Now watch what it says in Luke 1:17. He shall go before him. That's the Lord God of Israel. In the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the children of the fathers, even the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just, in order to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I don't care, my brother, sister, how prepared we are, vessels anointed, prepared unto God, we must be made ready, and this is the only way it's done. Amen. Now, you see, this is where your mind tricks you. This is where you get smart in the head and say, well, I just don't see it. What's to see if it's thus saith the Lord? Huh? Now, you see, that's the attitude. That is the attitude. You stand back and say, live or die. They say, well, listen, use your brains. See, I don't have any. Be honest. Tell me, how much brains has a guy got to try thus saith the Lord if God's not behind him? Shows he ain't got none. You got more brains than he's got. You're an Einstein compared to this nut in the nut house. You cannot educate your mind to this. If you're not seen, you'll never get it. There's no way. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, there's no room in your soul for this word. He said, too bad. You're not going to get it. So, all right. Now watch. God help us receive it. Receive what? Receive what the seven seals brought us. The mystery of the seven thunders, wherein the truth is now declared, the word is restored. Now watch, the churches will tell you they don't need it because they got it. Go to the Pentecostal. Try to show them tongues and no evidence. Show it in the scriptures, in the scripture everywhere. Believing the word for the hour. Believing the word is the evidence of the Holy Ghost baptism. It's through the whole battle. You going to convince them? No, because they want to talk in tongues. And you got the Branham Buncher just full of the same thing. See, that quickening power, the quickening power of the Holy Spirit bringing this word to life is in the church now and is quickening us to the resurrection. They without us cannot be made perfect. We've got to come in our order. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment. Between the night, the last trump, or the trumpet shall sound. And what is the last trump? It's a trump of Revelation 10 and 7 that sounds. And that is the message that comes down in Ephesians 1 Thessalonians 4:16. That's what you're getting from the prophet of God. And that is what counts. This is where it comes from. But people don't believe it. They got their own idea. It's something that Jesus is just going to do out of the blue. Hallelujah. Millions now living won't die. That's a lie. Millions will die. They don't believe that Noah had a message. They don't believe that Moses had a message. They don't believe Jesus had a message. Yes, they do, but they don't. They don't understand. And the fact is they do not want to understand because they won't listen. And when vindication comes on the scene, you are bound, as I read you, that Catholic said. He said, just one miracle, and God hits you right between the eyes. Shut up and listen. You better hear what's going on. How could a Roman Catholic do that? A Protestant stand by. That Roman Catholic's got more on the ball than those Protestants ever had. And he's going to believe in Mary. Hardly. See, now listen. It depends what attitude you take to whether it's going to do you any good or not, though. You have to believe that. If you don't believe it, it won't do you one bit of good. Well, you've been more than kind to stay this long. I felt sorry for both of us, so I just quit reading. But it's under the seventh seal, brother and sister. The thunders have thundered. The mysteries are over. You are into the resurrection. Something's happening. And you know the devil can't do a thing about it? Too late. He can't do a thing about it. He could not produce thus, saith the Lord. His cohorts cannot do it. All he can do is fool with it. This message, I'm accused right now around the world of the man in black, that Brother Branham's a man in white, sowed the seed, and I'm in the man in black going around the world, haven't read the church age book. I've got news for you. I'm not the man in black. The Lord himself explained who that was. I'm not so mighty that I could be the devil. Come on now, don't give me that much credit. Now come on, let's be a little bit more what you might call so exalted in your opinion of me. Yeah. The big difference is we stand for the truth here. I didn't do the best job today in all this. There's thoughts in my mind that I've got to be more coordinated. But they keep coming because I'm a teacher. I'm not a prophet. But I know what I've said today. I know it's right. Because I see what he was saying. It all lying here right now in that tent vision and everything that he had has started. It's going to take us right in on through. You say, will there be a great tent like that? Listen, I don't know what's going to be. You want me to look down the road? Don't be ridiculous. I'm looking at this word now. What's here? I'm not even looking back. I preach vindication all the time because that's where we start from. That's only because it's necessary to keep people alive to the fact where the truth is coming from this hour. The food, brother, sister, was stored up for now. We're feeding on it. Easter seal is on, and we're in progress right now. You see, the abstract came down, God himself down here. Hey, listen, brother, sister, if I were to deny it, it doesn't change it. If I have second thoughts, Paul said, if I have second thoughts, he said, I'm going to burn. I'm cursed. Paul knew his first thoughts couldn't be changed. If I deny everything I preached, it won't change it. If I deny vindicated William Branham, prophet of God, it's not going to change anything. If I deny the fact that he declared and proved that he was here, he said when Moses went down to Egypt to deliver Israel, God did not only appear in signs and wonders, but he said he himself appeared in a pillar of fire upon Mount Sinai. So today we have his picture. If I say Brother Branham made a mistake, does that change anything? No. No. Now you're feeling better already again, aren't you? Kind of got lost for a while in the fog. But you're snapping out of it. I know when the clouds lift. It just takes a couple little things to let you know. Doesn't change it at all. I've been married 52 years. I can say, well, bless God. I've been married 35 years now. Doesn't change a thing. 52 is it. Yep. 77, 1991, September 28th. What time of day? I don't know. So, well, you know, I feel so great. I'm really 55. Doesn't change a thing. I'm 77, but a month or two. Personally, I don't feel 55 either. You can dream that you're having a vacation in Hawaii right now. Doesn't change a thing. You're right here in these seats. See what I'm trying to tell you? You're not going to change anything. But if you've got that word, it's going to change you. You follow me? This Easter seal is now. You are not waiting for the resurrection to come. He who is the resurrection, I am the resurrection and the life, is here now. We're moving spirally. You ever notice how storms are getting bigger and bigger? So is this word. Okay, let's go home. That's right. Wednesday night, we won't finish. I don't think I could possibly finish next Wednesday night. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for the time you give us together, Lord, and it is a good time together. Maybe rough on some of us, maybe rougher on me than on the people. Preaching hard, working hard. If this is called work, I enjoy it. And so happy, Lord, to have a part of it, to just see these things come together so beautifully, to see where Brother Branham said it slid into the Word. Oh, preaching on Easter seal, preaching on resurrection, preaching on the abstract, preaching on the proof, preaching on the knowledge, preaching on the certainty. Absolutely, even going like Abraham, who said God raises the dead, calling those things which are not as though they were. That's what he said. Absolutely, the faith of Abraham, full assurance of faith, bringing the promised Son in flesh upon the earth. What a tremendous thing, Lord, this is. And leading right past the white throne into the new Jerusalem. We know this, Lord, boggles the mind. We know that we're not fully aware to the reality of the way the prophet was. And neither am I going to pray again, Lord, that I should or anybody here in this building be aware as the prophet was to the degree that he was. But, Lord, I'm praying again for each and every single one of us. Every person, I don't care how small, to get a real living grasp of the reality of the living Word and the living God, and we are part of it. To the greatest extent, Lord, that you've given us the capacity to receive it. I'm not asking beyond it, Lord. And if that's what it is today, what we've got, if that capacity has been fulfilled, then praise God, I'm happy. And I say, Lord, whatever you don't show me now, and may never, well, praise the Lord, I've got more than enough to get me right through to the completion, right to the tree of life, right in New Jerusalem, Lord. Because your prophet said everything was there already to put us in the rapture. And if he's talking to us as bride, little bride, you didn't even do it, then, Lord, he's talking to some of us somewhere, somehow, and he said each one of us to believe that we'd be that person. So, Father, may this church learn, each one, to be that person and link arms together in love through that living Word of God, by the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and to march forward invincible with the Word. And if we have it, it's going to do it to us. Bless every home represented here, Lord, so that families, Father, will be joined together in love and harmony around the Word. There'll be no sorrowful partings in the day which you're coming. We don't know all what's going to happen, Lord, but we know that there's coming a bad time with a good time. We know that. We pray for the families, pray for the sick amongst us. The sweet Spirit of Jesus Christ, heal us and help us all. And whatever we need, Lord, we know that it's already made up in you. This we know. And above everything in this world, we know this, that beyond the little tomorrow, the little day we're living in, there rises that great tomorrow, starting with the resurrection, Father, which we are believing to be a part. And every tear will be wiped away. Every eye made dry. There won't be one more hungry person. There won't be one more naked person. One more sorrowful person. No, there'll be no death, no sorrow. Sun will always shine. Won't even need the sun because you'll be the brightness. What a wonderful day looms ahead, Lord. But may your people realize that if it weren't for this day, there wouldn't be that day. But because there is this day, there will be that day. And we're a part of it because vindicated prophets said so. And we believe, Lord, we believe that you've vindicated them. We're trusting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.